Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome, or good evening and welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. We had some technical difficulties tonight, but I think we're going to get through it all. And what we'll do is try to rock with this thing a little bit. What happened was that I was trying to alter my schedule. And I messed up. What I did was I killed all my shows. So then I had to reschedule my shows so that I could be on the air, of course. And now that I got them all rescheduled, it's a very interesting thing for me, the process of doing this and working. So I'm looking forward to retirement so that I can have more time to become more familiar with the utilization of Blog Talk Radio, because I think it's one of the most innovative opportunities available for us out here in that aren't a part of the corporate media. And if you want to give us a call, I want you to take an opportunity to do that, please. The number to call us at is 347-945-7040. I finally just got the chat room opened, and you know, there was some. And first, though, I'd like to express what this program is about, and give you a little bit of a tiny disclaimer about it. The title of the show is "The Next Phase with Ice and Friends." Description: any comments or opinions you hear on the show do not necessarily represent the views and/or beliefs or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. This show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in our communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income for themselves, potentially. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests, all these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be, on occasion, musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, especially, such things as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, reassessing the significance of the spiritual impact in our communities, or investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this outline, please join us on the next phase with Ice and Friends. There was some tremendously interesting things that occurred this week in the media. And one of the things that I wanted to address, you know, there's a political thing going on. You know, everybody's getting ready for the November elections for the Senate and the House of Representatives. And there's a great deal of talk about what they call the Tea Party. And, you know, the Tea Party, they're making some tremendous, having some tremendous impact in the political, on the political scene these days. They're getting covered not only, especially by Fox News, who seems to be one of their most reliable outlets. But there are also a lot of news hosts. I wouldn't say news hosts. I would say commentators or editorialists who find themselves involved and engaged with the promotion of the Tea Party. And as best I'm able to understand the Tea Party, it's going to be about pretty much nullifying any potential improvements in my opinion, society in the USA as a result of having a President Obama as president. They want to restrict and restrain President Obama's agendas. And those are things that I find to be in total disagreement with. But again, if you want to present to me some idea as to why I might be persuaded to have some interest in why that President Obama should fail, give me a call at 347-945-7040. What I submit to you as the position that I have in regard to the reason that I think President Obama should succeed is that just this week there was a lady, can't remember what her name was, that got elected over in Delaware. And she was criticized by Karl Rove, who was, you know, reportedly, who was reported to be George Bush's brain. And he summarily dismissed any favorable attributes that the lady might have had, especially in the political arena. And he was then, he found himself the object of the ire of the self-appointed leader of the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh. And after having been summarily chastised, Karl Rove humbly, sheepishly began to change his position in regard to the lady that was elected in Delaware. And I can't remember her name. She's a proponent of the Sarah Palin ideology. What I would submit for your consideration that you will not see, you'll see Limbaugh romanticized all over the media. You'll see different excerpts of his programs where that he's providing people with information and about one thing or another. What I would like to submit for your consideration is when Limbaugh said that he sided with the Taliban. Now, this is not something that I'm making up. If you want to use your favorite search engine, all you have to do is to put in there, Limbaugh sides with the Taliban. And it'll provide you with the information that would substantiate what I'm telling you. Not only did he say that, but also Limbaugh said that if he would rather see America fail than to see Obama's agenda succeed. And you can use your favorite search engine to find that information also. One of the sites that I found that provided me with the information was, I don't know this guy, just, you know, put it in my search engine and it came up rodonline.typepad.com. And that'll give you not only the information in text, but it'll also give you the audio of when Limbaugh said that he sided with the Taliban. And I don't know why that aggravated me so much. I have some other things that I'd like to get into, but that particularly aggravated me when I heard this guy say that. I've been listening to this guy for about, I started listening to Limbaugh in the 80s. So, I don't know what that number would be, somewhere around 30 years, maybe 20-some-odd years or better. And, you know, I remember when there was another guy that had a show on before him. His name was Michael Jackson. That was the spot that Limbaugh took, was Michael Jackson's spot. Michael Jackson, he was a very eloquent commentator. He generally had both sides and allowed both sides to have a debate about whatever the issue was at the time. And I remember when Limbaugh first came on, he didn't have any sponsors. You know, they bankrolled Limbaugh for a long time. I can remember some of the calls that he got. I can remember some of the commercials that he did. But I wanted to refer you to this particular article right here. This article says, Salvatore Giunta to get Medal of Honor, first living Afghan war veteran receiving one. And I want you to think about Rush Limbaugh saying that he sided with the Taliban. Now, this article I found in the Huffington Post. It was written by Michael J. Crum, 9/10/2010, of the Associated Press. It says, now I want you to think about Limbaugh saying that he sided with the Taliban. He found himself on the same side with the Taliban. And I want you to listen. I'm going to read this article, I think, because of, I don't know how many people were out there, and I'll check the chat room here in a minute. But, you know, I just wanted to get this archived because I think this is very significant, because this is how inflammatory and how divisive. And this is the leader. This is the guy, Limbaugh, that Gingrich, a representative of Congress, duly elected by a constituency, bows and scrapes to. This is the same guy that Michael Steele bowed and scraped and kowtowed and bootlicked for, Rush Limbaugh. This is the guy that said that he hoped, he wanted America to fail because he wanted Obama's policies to fail. This is Limbaugh. Now here's the story about this young man. He's a 25-year-old, Salvatore Giunta, to get the Medal of Honor, first living Afghan war veteran. And you have these millions of people who sheepishly follow Limbaugh, who suggested that he hopes the same Taliban that disfigured that little lady, that Afghan woman, the same Taliban that beat women and abused women, he sided with the Taliban. But you don't hear that on the corporate media. You won't hear Chris Bighead Matthews talking about it. You won't hear Joe Hillbilly Scarborough talking about that. You won't hear that. You'll see him romanticizing Rush Limbaugh. You won't hear him talking about Rush Limbaugh saying that he would rather the U.S. fail than to see Obama's policies succeed. You will not hear them continually, loop after loop, Luke Limbaugh saying, out of context, that he found himself on the same side as the Taliban. That's the same lady that, that's the same guy that Sarah Palin loves, that John McCain loves. So, you know, you won't hear this looped over and over and over. You may only hear this right here where you're hearing it right now. It says, Des Moines, Iowa, 25-year-old soldier from Iowa who exposed himself to enemy gunfire to try to save two fellow soldiers will become the first living service member from the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq to receive the Medal of Honor. And it's going to be announced at the White House Friday. The White House Friday. Rush Limbaugh said he sided with the Taliban. This young man, 25-year-old soldier from Iowa, who exposed himself to enemy, Taliban, enemy, Limbaugh, Taliban, enemy, gunfire. So you find some affinity for Rush Limbaugh. To try to save two fellow soldiers will become the first living service member from the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq to receive the Medal of Honor. The White House announced Friday. President, not Rush Limbaugh, President, duly elected President Barack Hussein Obama phoned Army Staff Sergeant Salvatore Giunta on Thursday at the base in Italy where he's stationed to tell him he'd be receiving the nation's highest military honor. Giunta's father told the Associated Press, he will become the eighth service member to receive the Medal of Honor during operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. The seven previous medals were awarded posthumously. After death. Okay? It's bittersweet for us, said Stephen Giunta of Hiawatha. We're very proud of Sal. We can't mention that enough. But in this event, two other soldiers were killed, and that weighs heavy on us. You get very happy and very proud, and then you start dealing with the loss as well. You can't have one without the other. Giunta was serving as a rifle team leader with Company B, 2nd Battalion, 503rd Infantry Regiment, when an insurgent ambush split his squad into two groups on October 25, 2007, in the Korangal Valley in Afghanistan, the White House said in the news release. Giunta went above and beyond the call of duty when he exposed himself to enemy fire to pull a fellow soldier back to cover. He engaged the enemy again when he saw two insurgents carrying away a wounded soldier, 22-year-old Sergeant Joshua C. Brennan of McFarland, Wisconsin. Giunta killed one insurgent and wounded the other before tending to Brennan, who died the next day. His courage and leadership while under extreme fire were integral to his platoon's ability to defeat an enemy ambush and recover a fellow American soldier from enemy hands, the White House said. Giunta was enlisted in the Army shortly after graduating from Kennedy High School in Cedar Rapids. He is now stationed in Italy with the battle company of the 173rd Airborne Brigade. He was in his second tour of duty in Afghanistan at the time of the ambush. Second tour. Giunta was previously awarded Bronze Star and Purple Heart, awarded a Bronze Star and a Purple Heart, among other medals. I called his parents after hearing from the president, his father said. He was very honored to talk with the president, but he's very reserved about it, Stephen Giunta said. It's not something he's comfortable with, the event or the Medal of Honor. Stephen Giunta said of his son is humble because he believes he was just doing what he was supposed to be doing. He mentions every other soldier would have done the same thing. It kind of rocks his world that he's being awarded the Medal of Honor for something each and every one of them would have done. He's very aware of that. What a privilege and honor it is, and what the men what it is, and what the men have done over the years to receive it. The feat is above and beyond a portion of it. It's amazing to me, Stephen Giunta said. Giunta will be awarded his medal in the White House ceremony at a date yet to be determined. The president will present the Medal of Honor posthumously. Wow, I wish I could say that word correctly. To Staff Sergeant Robert Miller in a White House ceremony on October the 6th. And, you know, this is a story that posthumously. Dang it, and I could say that any other time probably, posthumously. Well, anyway, after death. And you know, when I listen to these guys who bow down and kowtow to Rush Limbaugh, and this young man risked his life against the very guys that Limbaugh said he sided with, and you think I'm taking it too far? You think I'm going a little bit overboard with it? Well, you know, you may be right. You know, you may absolutely be right. But I don't think so. I really don't think so. Because I think that this guy Limbaugh gets far too much credit for his ignorance and his idiocy. You know, well, Limbaugh's wealthy and you got nothing. Absolutely right. I have nothing. But I think I would much rather have nothing than to side with the Taliban. I just can't do it. It's just not in my spirit. Not to even joke about it. It's not funny to me. I mean, you know, when you got children, when you got fathers, husbands, daughters, mothers, sisters, brothers, you got people dying over there for a guy trying to crack a joke on the president. That's how sad and pathetic this is to me. And Rush Limbaugh says he sides with the Taliban. Can you believe it? That is really wild to me. That is totally wild to me. But anyway, these are the people that people like the mighty big head Chris Matthews and Joe Hillbilly Scarborough and Newt Gingrich and Mike Slick Steele, and you know, these are the people that want to take over Congress. They want to run the country. You know, I was thinking about that, the Republicans running the country. It's like they had 8 years that they fed you. And after 8 years of feeding you, you regurgitated because you couldn't take anymore. And you said, I can't take anymore. This is killing me. And then they say a couple years later, well, here, we want you to eat what you threw up. You know, we want you to try it again. You know, and I'm thinking, like, these guys started with $280 billion and a trillion, and they ended with a 1.4 trillion. They started with a surplus of, like, $280 billion thereabouts. You know, that's debatable, I'm sure, you know, amongst knowledgeable people, of which I'm not a knowledgeable person. But these guys started with around $300 billion to the good, which to me would be like maybe $2,800. So, you know, a trillion is $1,000 billion. And $1 billion is $1,000 million, right? So I'm going to say if I started out with $2,800, and by the time Bush got through with me, he and the Republicans, with the tax cuts, you know, the tax cuts were supposed to stimulate the economy, right? You know, the stimulus package is not working. Well, why do you need a stimulus package? Because the economy is not stimulated. But we had the tax cuts during the Bush era, the very highly touted tax cuts. Well, if the tax cuts worked, why would I go from having $2,800 to a deficit of like $1,680,000. You know, why would that happen? How could that happen if their formula for success was actually workable and doable and viable? Yeah, I mean, I sit there and I listen to these guys. I listen to these commentators. You know, and Obama says it so correctly. President Obama says it so correctly. They drove the car in the ditch, do you understand? Maybe nearly off the cliff, almost off the cliff. Would that be close enough? Would that be more visually appealing? And we got it back off the verge of total disaster. Nobody denies that. Nobody, not even the Republicans deny it. What the Republicans say was, well, we don't want to talk about what happened in the past. You know. Unless you want to talk about Jimmy Carter, or unless you want to talk about, we want to talk selectively what happened in the past. What happened in the past that would cause us to look like we were a wonderful people? Well, if you want to dismiss everything that happened in the past, dismiss everything that happened in the past. Don't talk about anything. Don't talk about the tax cuts that you had in the past. Don't even act like that it stimulated the economy, because obviously. If the tax cuts had stimulated the economy, then there wouldn't be a deficit of 1.4 trillion. But, you know, you've got these teabaggers and these quote-unquote conservative Republicans running around talking about, well, we're going to take over Congress. We're excited. We're ready. Excited about what? You got your tax cuts during the Bush administration. Your favorite leader, the guy that sided with the Taliban, helped you get your tax cuts for the wealthy. This guy, I think, makes like, what, $64 million a year? And you think he's going to go against a tax cut for the wealthy? So I guess Limbaugh is going to come to every little town, you know, every little rural area, and spend the money rather than the people in the rural areas getting the money so they can spend it themselves. You know, if the middle class got the tax cut, perhaps. What would you do with a tax cut? Maybe let's just use $2,800, for instance. What would you do with $2,800? You think you maybe get some new curtains, maybe some shingles, maybe some tires, maybe some children's clothes. What would you do with an extra $2,800? You know, I mean, but you would rather have that money go to a wealthy guy who, I mean, he's already, you know, worth $1 million or better or whatever. So, I mean, what, he needs more money. He's equating himself with you. You know, every time these little people, they want money. I want my money. You know, the heck with these little people. I want more money. I want a yacht. I want a new yacht. You know, my yacht's got barnacles on it. You know, I want to sell it. I want to get a new yacht. So that's going to put a lot of people to work, right? Anyway, I digress. Talking about a story that I saw about Texas police officer fired on for a tape beating of a suspect. Y'all hear about that? This is on the 16th of September the 16th. And this was, I found it in the Grill. I had heard about the story, but I didn't know, I didn't have all the total details on it. But Texas, it says one Dallas, Texas police officer has been fired and three may face felony charges for a taped beating of a chase suspect. Now, you know, a taped, does it bring back a little bit of Rodney King to you? You know, police officers with billy clubs, unarmed, civilian, regardless to the crime, get beat. And then, you know, one of the officers upholding the law turned the camera away so that you couldn't see what was happening to the suspect, to the individual, to the citizen. I mean, this is these are the maniacs to me that you find running around out here that you deal with every day. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. Anyway, Officer Kevin Rudolph was fired Wednesday. Fired. I'm hoping that he gets prosecuted. Not just fired, but he was fired Wednesday in connection with the excessive force investigation. He, along with Officer Paul Bauer, may face misdemeanor assault and official oppression charges, as well as a felony charge of tampering with or fabricating physical evidence in connection with the September 5th beating of Andrew Collins. You know, and, you know, just in New York recently, the Sean Bell trial, they settled for like $7 million, you know, for him being killed by a quote-unquote police officer. You know, I have nothing against police officers. But you can put a tuxedo on a pig, and that would not make a pig a groom. It'll only make him a pig with a tuxedo on. You know, so there are some police officers who really, to me, disparage the entire police force, and they should instead of being protected and covered by their buddies, they should be called out. They should be fired and or prosecuted, in my opinion. But it says Officer Henry Walter Duetsch, D-U-E-T-S-C-H, may also face a felony charge for tampering with evidence. He returned to a squad car and turned the dashboard camera away from the assault, according to Dallas Police Chief David Brown. Brown said Wednesday he is recommending the charges to the Dallas County District Attorney. The officer pursued Collins for allegedly riding his motorcycle on a South Dallas sidewalk about 9:15 p.m. After he was stopped, officers beat him with a police baton and fist while he was on the ground. It was not clear from the video if Collins voluntarily pulled over or was bumped by the police car. Randolph hit Collins repeatedly with his baton, and his partner Bauer struck Collins with his fist, police said. Off camera, Collins can be heard begging for mercy. Collins had visible bruises on his thigh and blood clotting. A video from the second car arriving after Collins was handcuffed recorded the scene for several minutes. Then an officer can be seen walking toward the car whistling. The camera then moves so Collins and the officers are no longer visible. The next day, an anonymous tip left on the desk of a Dallas police sergeant asked the officer to pull video of the chase and crash. On September 8th, Chief Brown viewed the video and called in the FBI to investigate possible civil rights violations. By Monday, police had interviewed 30 people about Collins' arrest, including all of the 22 officers who responded. None of the officers were supervisors. Brown asked for calm and trust in the police department from Dallas residents when they see the video, which was released after his news conference Wednesday. Every citizen deserves a measure of respect, he said. As a chief of police of the city of Dallas, I expect citizens to hold me accountable for ensuring that Dallas officers treat all citizens with fairness and compassion. No one is above the law of this great country. I am appealing to the calmer voices of the community and the police department to examine the evidence in the case and the department's investigation thoroughness and transparency. Brown added that Brown added that though there was early speculation the assault was quote unquote race related, the investigation was not revealed has not yet revealed evidence to support those claims. We currently don't have evidence to that effect, and we have to deal with the facts, and the facts have to matter before we jump to those conclusions, said Brown. Collins is black. Of the 22 total officers who responded to the scene, at least two are Hispanic and one is black. She arrived at the scene after the arrest to wait with a motorcycle for a wrecker. Brown cited a transcript of the dash cam video during the pursuit to indicate the raw emotion and premeditation were factors in the assault, not Collins's race. Keep us going. Keep us going. I'm going to kick the S-H-I, you know, out of him. Brown read from the transcript, no racial slurs were heard on the radio transmission or recordings, he said. Brown dropped a charge of resisting arrest against Collins on Monday. Wow. Amazing. Hey, Jay Early, how you doing? Hey, Navazar, thank you. Welcome to the room. Blessings to you. Good to see you. And you know, guys, y'all can give me a call at 347-945-7040. We'll be right back with more right after this brief intermission.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarboard, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them? Thank you.
PM. You're listening to the next phase with Ice and Friends, and maybe abbreviated show tonight. I had asked someone to be a host. I mean, a guest host, I guess. And we didn't get a chance to get that totally consolidated, we didn't get a chance to have that individual to appear as a guest on the show tonight. So maybe, hopefully, I ask a good brother. Brother, hey, welcome back, Jay Early, and thank you, Navizar, for joining me in the chat room. Really appreciate you guys. I asked Brother T.L. Harris, and I'm hoping he'll be here with some musical information next week, and we'll be looking forward to it. And hopefully in the future, Brother Oluyami, he's been on the show before, and he has some very interesting information that I hope he'll share. He went on a trip to Africa and to Uganda. I'm not sure, and I hope Brother Brother Ogun will come back sometime, and definitely looking forward to Sister Rabia, or better known to a lot of us as Upfront and Blunt, and I hope she'll be back. Texas Maid, how you doing? Welcome to the room. Glad to see you. And hopefully, I really appreciate what Sister Rabia is doing up in Pennsylvania with her SMART. Oh, man, and I wrote that down, and I was intending to, I have the information, but I'll just have to dig it up here in a second. Her address and all that, I wrote that down last time she was here, but I misplaced it, so I have to find it and get that information to you, but it's SMART. Single mothers are really trying, and she has a organization that she started up in Pennsylvania, and with that that organization, what she's doing is working with mothers and families who found themselves in difficulties, and she's providing them with some different types of recovery programs and assistance programs. And I'm really proud for what she's doing, and I'm proud to know her. She's an extremely intelligent and very personable young lady, and very conscientious. And she's really working toward providing some not just lip service, but some real assistance to our community. My plan is to make some contributions, and I would hope that you would be so inclined also, so that we can help with her organization becoming a little bit more, quite a bit more successful in the future. And I would hope that she would come back and share some of that information. Oh, wow, Jerry's got a show coming on in about 20 minutes. I'm not sure. I guess you can look up on Blog Talk Radio. Type in J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y, Jay Early, and he has a show on, and as does Sister Navazor, N-A-V-A-X-O-R-1. Just come to Blog Talk Radio and type in those names in the search area, and they'll lead you to the information that will be relevant for, you know, give you a way to find their show, their shows, because their shows are very interesting to me and very informative and very encouraging. And that's what we try to do here with Black Ice and Friends, is you know, give some encouragement. I know I'm more of a dark humorous type of guy maybe, or whatever. But you know, I get a little bit incensed with the whole idea of, and I guess it's because I have grandchildren now, and I want them to be. I don't want them to go through, and children. As a matter of fact, I don't want them to go through the same struggles that I went through for the same reasons that I went through them. And I would like to raise awareness and also encourage some of the individuals not to participate in behaviors as I did that were counterproductive for me, and to participate and find some resources out there that could potentially put you in a better position where that you could resolve some issues in a way that would be tremendously beneficial for you. And I'm hoping that we can find and provide some individuals that I've met along life's way who have those different types of perspectives, and they do lend themselves to resolving issues rather than continuing to cite problems, because it doesn't, to me, take much to cite a problem. What it takes a lot to do is to resolve a problem. And so, you know, initially I had an experience in my life that allowed me to have a mentor. And this man, you know, actually what it was going through a drug treatment process. And the mentor was he described himself, a self-described individual. He was a Skid Row bum for 20 years, so he said. And he had his hand cut off just above his wrist, his right hand cut off, and had Coke bottle glasses, little guy, little Anglo man, and he allowed me to ask him to be a sponsor for me. And we went through a lot of issues, and he gave me invaluable information and insight. One of the things that he provided me with was, I was having a difficulty one time, and I was discussing it with him, and he told me, he looked at me, and he said, "You know what?" And I said, "No." He said, "You're living in the problem and not the solution." And, man, that was like a resounding slap in the head, because I'd never really ever thought about anything other than problems before. I thought you went from problem to problem. And this guy provided me a thought process that would allow me to go from solution to solution. And so that's what I tried to involve myself with from that day forth, and that's been several years ago. Anyway, I have another article here. This one is from the Loop 21, if you ever have a chance. That's a nice little periodical, online periodical. And it happens to be talking about the blind side of the economic crisis, 1 million homeless school-aged kids, and the rise in homelessness among school-aged children in the underside of our current financial crisis. And this is by Devona Walker. And I found this, as I said before, on the Loop 21, THELOOP.21, I think it is. And you can put that in your favorite search engine, and maybe you can find this article, "The Blind Side of the Economic Crisis, 1 million Homeless School-Aged Kids." This is, many of you have seen The Blind Side, where a benevolent, I never saw this movie. I really didn't want to see this movie. I cannot convince myself. I would wish that someone, if you want to give me a call, 347-945-7040, and, you know, we'll have a conversation. But I never saw The Blind Side, and I really couldn't convince myself that I wanted to see The Blind Side. But anyway, many of us may have seen The Blind Side, where a benevolent Sandra Bullock takes a homeless black kid into her home. He's a big boy with a little TLC, he is transformed into a professional football player. Well, that story, though it sounds pretty fantastical, she says, is actually based on real people and events. Unfortunately, that Hollywood ending bears no similarity to all the struggles an estimated 1 million homeless school children currently face in the United States. To understand the magnitude of that number, think about this. There are only 40 million African Americans in the United States. And when you drill down the number of those homeless kids, nearly half of them are black, roughly 47%. So that means at least 500,000 black school-aged children, let me say that again, 500,000 black school-aged children are currently homeless. The rise in homelessness among school-aged children is the underside of our current financial crisis. According to data from the U.S. Department of Education, the number of students identified as homeless by public school districts rose more than 40% during 2006 and 2007 and 2008 and 2009 school years to 956,914. And this year was steady and unprecedented increases in foreclosures, 10% unemployment, and roughly twice that in the most economically vulnerable communities, i.e. black communities. The projections actually look much worse. And out of all the schools reporting the Department of Education, the Department of Education reported 70% of all schools saw an increase in homeless students. You got a home, you got a roof over your head, you got water running, you know, refrigerator, food in the icebox, you know, food in the icebox, food in your refrigerator, you know, food in your pantry, your cabinets. You know, you got gas stove or electric stove, or you got lights, right? Television maybe a PC, telephone, you know, climate control, you know, maybe refrigerated air or central heat and air conditioning, whatever. See, about 37% of schools are already reporting an increase in homelessness. This is not just without lights or water or gas. This is without a home, without a shelter, without something over you and around you, something to protect you, to make you feel comfortable. You know, can you imagine, I mean, you know, having to develop a desire to survive, to overcome in the conditions that you don't have a home? You probably would feel that you owed everybody everything, you know, and you probably would you have maybe a little bit of a problem with low self-esteem. Okay, and this is where I live. In Texas, it says the number of homeless students increased 139%. In Texas, Brother Mark Perry, Mr. Mark Secession Perry, homelessness increased 139%. Iowa saw an increase of 136%. New Mexico, an increase of 91%. Kansas, 88%. New Jersey, 84%. New York and South Dakota, 73%. And in Georgia, 72% increase in homelessness. Homelessness. No home. Nowhere to park your car. No car, as a matter of fact, probably, right? You know, no shelter for your car, no shelter for you. You know, no bed to lay on. Not even if it had bed bugs in it. You know. So where do you lay your head? Where does a mother with children, where does a father with children? Where do children go? What do they do? You know, this is what I think, this is what Sister Rabia is trying to address with single mothers are really trying up in Pennsylvania. It's just a few, just not all the starfish, just that one. She's trying to address them one at a time, and this is why I think those types of community-based efforts need our support. You know, if it's no more than verbal support, you know, if we're not willing to financially invest, can we not just say a good word about a person or a good word about a program? Or maybe do some volunteer work, maybe make a couple of phone calls, maybe talk to some friends that might have an interest in making a contribution. I mean, these are homeless children. Homeless children. Okay, They are easily overlooked. It's rare to see a child sleeping on a park bench, so it's easy to forget that these children and their families exist, said Ellen Bassick, president of the National Center of Family Homelessness, on DelawareOnline.com. DelawareOnline.com. The families are relatively invisible. You're invisible. So it's not the public's consciousness. It's not in the public's consciousness. No, you know, I mean, I want to watch Monday Night Football. You know, I got the satellite, you know, HD, 3D. You know, hey, I'm doing pretty good, you know. Got a new car, whatever, maybe. Not me, I'm saying that. Maybe those are some of the concerns that we have. But in the midst of all of those things, there are homeless people out here. Sometimes they sleep on a sofa of an extended family member. Sometimes they go from night to night in various cheap motels. Sometimes they end up in a network of homeless shelters, sleeping on pull-out cots in a large auditorium. They often are forced to attend school underfed. Sometimes they are forced to wear the same clothes day in and day out. You know, it's not exactly the kind of an environment that encourages academic success. In fact, if it does anything, it tells a child there is no use. They are, that they should just give in and give up. In addition to these kids, are four times more likely to be sick than other children. So, you know, I got it bad. I mean, you know, it's not good for me all the time, but I got home, you know. And I can remember Rush Limbaugh with his, and, you know, I keep going back to this guy because I can remember when he used to play Frogman Henry, I Ain't Got No Home, and he used to make a joke about it. You know, that at that point in time when he was making a joke about it, desensitizing people to the fact that there were human beings in the United States of America, not Iraq, not Iran, not Afghanistan, not in Somalia, you know, not in India, right here in the United States of America. He was totally desensitized. But this is the power this fool has. This is the power this fool has. And he has people like Michael Steele and Phil Gingrey and Newt Gingrich and Sham Hannity, Sham Insanity, and big head, big face Chris Matthews, and dumb hillbilly Joe Scarborough, and Pat Buchanan, and just name them, Mitch McConnell. What's the orange guy's name? I can't even think of what his darn name is. These guys bow to this fool that used to play. And I remember this. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm old. I remember it. I ain't got no home. And he made jokes about it. And then he makes jokes about being a part of the Taliban. He was sided with the Taliban, the people that are killing people and disfiguring people. Just how sick and pathetic. But that's not the sick part. He has followers. He has listenerships. He has sponsors. That's the sick part about it. Anyway, I regress. I'm sorry. Okay, so then it says, but the questions I have is, why are they so easily ignored? Well, because you're desensitized. If you keep hearing a song about, I ain't got no, you know, it's easy for you to think that you got your little caravan and you can drive to your soccer practice and you can drive to your, you know, your issues are totally different. And you could go sit up in your little church and open up your hymnal, oh, amazing, great, you know. Because this fool is just telling you, don't worry about it. I ain't got no home. You know, have you ever been without electricity? Water? Gas? Transportation? Nah, lately have you, nah. But the question I have is, why are they so easily ignored in the debate on cutting safety net programs? Oh, the Republicans don't even want to extend unemployment. You know, Mitch McConnell, dude wears a different suit every day. Boehner, that's his name. Boehner, the orange man, these dudes standing up there with these slick suits, and they say, the hell with you. You don't need unemployment. It just makes you lazy. And they want to run the country. You know what? A lot of these people that voted for them are homeless today, destitute, on welfare, and they voted to cut their welfare benefits when they had jobs. But by the grace of God, there go I. That's how stupid these followers of Rush Limbaugh are. Dummies. And Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin gets $100,000 every time she speaks. I think I'm right. $100,000. Glenn Beck gets like, what, $34-45 million? You think they feel your pain? Whatever. Why are they never discussed when Congress talks about cutting funds from food stamp programs? Yeah, let's cut some funds from the food, but we want to keep the military industrial complex because we may need some of those aircraft carriers that we couldn't use in Iraq or that we can't use in Afghanistan. You know, we want to buy some more of those jet planes that cost $300 million. That we can't use in Afghanistan, nor can we use, could we use them in Iraq. But they serve the contractors who overprice their product and get taxpayer money, and then they get tremendous benefits and take these guys on these famous trips in their Learjets and private planes and go play the golf. You know, can you imagine these guys? But anyway, let me continue on. I'm so sorry. Why are they not discussed when Congress talks about cutting funds from food stamp programs and scaling back entitlement programs? You know, you're an entitlement program. You're homeless. You're walking around the kids, you know, with the same clothes on day after day, just an entitlement. But all onward Christian, you know, I'm just a real Christian in my heart. You know, how can you love me, whom you've never seen, and you don't love your brother, who you see every day? I think that's somewhere. I've read that somewhere. In this country, the signs are the sins of the parents, their inability to support and feed the children, are undoubtedly visited on the children. Children, not fetuses, living, breathing, everyday children. You know, not some gun, not your gun. You're not going to pry this gun from my hands. A living, breathing child. I want my ammunition. You know, you're not going to take away my Second Amendment right. But there are children. And, you know, their inability to support and feed their children undoubtedly visited on the children. Children who are too young legally to work, not in China. They're not too young to work in China or India. Children who have done nothing to deserve the poverty in which they suffer except be born unable to represent themselves. But we can't. If we can't make a donation, we can vote. We can get rid of Mitch McConnell, whatever his name is, McConnell. We can get rid of Phil Ginger. We can get rid of Hensarling. We can get rid of Boehner and all these other dummies. This nut up here in Oklahoma, I can't think of his name. I wrote it down. You know, we can vote these guys out. That, you know, I don't want to change their mind. Get rid of them. Vote them out. But you know, you do as you choose, okay? Children who have done nothing to deserve the poverty in which they suffer. In this country, it would seem we would take, in this country, in this old onward Christian, America, God shed his grace, I pledge allegiance. You know, in this country, it would seem we would take at least some time to consider them when we talk about moving the country forward. After all, take this country back. After all, they are the future, right, she says? And this was Ms. Devona Walker. And the story was on the Luke 21, the blind side of the economic crisis. 1 million homeless school-aged kids. 1 million homeless school-aged kids. And Sarah Palin got, how much did she get for her speech? She and Glenn Beck up in Alaska, when they went up there, they charged, we're going to make a speech for you, but we're going to charge you to heck with the children, but I love America. I am a wonderful citizen. Onward Christian, you know. it's amazing. Anyway, I'm sorry, I digress. You have to look over me. I'm not a professional. Hey, Alpha, how you doing? Good to see you. East Coast, welcome to the room. I'm so sorry, I just looked back. Alpha, if you want to give me a call, brother, you know you can. I really appreciate you guys. Texas made, thank you, Navasaur, thank you, and East Coast, 347-945-7040, and you know, you always, please, you're welcome, please, found an interesting site, Block Talk Radio, okay, thanks for putting that in the chat room. I got a copy, I'll save this room. Oh, you did? Hey, call me back, please, Alpha. Give me a call, man, dadgummit. I missed you, brother. I get on these bends out here, and binges or whatever you want to call them. You know good and doggone well, you're welcome, man. I'm going to give you my cell number so you can give me a call on that cell, because I'm on my home phone. But give me a holler at me, man. I'm waiting. I'm looking at the switchboard right now, waiting on you to shoot back at me. And, so, and Alpha, man, you gotta call me, man, dadgummit, dude. Just put it in the chat when you make the call. No, I know, I'm sorry, man. He's telling me I didn't answer. You know I didn't intend not to answer. Give me a call back, Alpha. ALFO, if you come to Block Talk Radio and Navasaur, NAVAXOR1, Block Talk Radio. Thank you, Block Talk Radio, for letting me on the air with my little rants and stuff. And Navasaur, she's on. Alpha, ALFO, he's on. He has a wonderful show. I got a chance to witness it one time, and I'm looking forward to doing it again when I get a chance. But it's been hectic out here in this oil patch. Alpha, give me a call, man, if you can, all right? I'm going to be checking back. I'm going back to, because I know you got something to say, and all you do, and you're more than welcome anytime, anybody. You know, if you're out there and you can hear me, you know, just give me a call. We'll be glad to kick it around and see what the heck's going on. I'm waiting on Alpha, but the guy won't give me a call. Okay, no problem. I'll check back, right back, Alpha, if you do get a chance to get through. I really would appreciate it. And, the next article that I was going to take a look at, because I know you, and wait, who is that? Let me say. East Coast, and East Coast always has some, East Coast always has some good info, and I appreciate you. He's talking about Ali Travels the World, ALITravelstheWorld.com, and it's about a Zimbabwe situation, and, you know, so he always has some, I'm sure that East Coast is a guy, I'm almost certain. But anyway, Alpha, if you get a chance, give me a call back. Anybody, please, 347-945-7040. There he is. All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man. Can you hear me?
Good evening. Good evening, Black.
Hey, Alpha, how you doing, brother?
Oh, everything's all right, man. While I was holding, somebody came to the door. So.
Oh, no problem. You know, so man, you know you're welcome. You know I get off on that side. You know how you do. I just had this one computer, man. I'm going to get me another one, hopefully, one of these days.
Yeah, I understand. You know, what you were saying about the simple rise in the homeless, you know, the
right.
increase in the destitute, the ever disparaging gap
right.
between those who are growing rich,
right,
those who don't have and are falling through the cracks of our society, and as
right.
you mentioned, you know, there's a great deal the disparaging numbers of African American children that are homeless.
Mm.
And they are homeless, but you know, we have to look, you know, they are considered collateral damage.
Isn't that something, man?
That's the pathetic part about it. They are considered collateral damage. But here is even a bigger problem. 12% turnout, African-Americans voting in Detroit.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
11% turnout, African-Americans voting in Tennessee. In Philadelphia, 16% African-American turnout.
Right.
Here in Chicago, 17%,
wow,
if not lower. We don't go to the polls. So how can we be considered as a voting bloc, as a threat, if we don't go to the polls? And even, I would say, expand on that to right now, look at what's happening. They're poised, from all of the propaganda we hear with the mainstream media, the Republicans are poised to take it all back and take the keys to the bus back. Then, well, how big will that swell? How big will homelessness swell then? They're looking to defund everything from the healthcare reform to
right,
the reform. They will plunge this country into a third world nation of haves and have-nots, of poverty. But there seems to be a problem here. According to the media, motivating
right,
the liberal progressives, how are you not motivated? You know, I've said it over and over again. I've criticized this president over and over again, and I'll continue to say it. I support President Barack Obama.
I do too, brother.
Now, my support is not unconditional.
Right.
I'm not
exactly
saying I will not support him, but
right,
he's got to fight. He's got to support himself. You know, there are people who advocate on his behalf, and these people are really given a bad name.
Right.
And they have given a bad name because when you advocate for him, you cannot ignore his weaknesses.
Right.
And if you fail to point them out, you just fall into that category of a lemon. You simply blindly follow him, and you shouldn't. Who should you blindly follow? No one.
Right, exactly.
And that's where we are. The homeless people, the people who are homeless, that's a tragedy. That's a travesty.
Right.
You know, for this country. But look at what they've done. Look at the people. Look at the intellectual dishonesty, the disingenuous.
Right.
Who are standing on the right, who are blocking everything, who have turned this into a redistribution of wealth argument because
yeah,
they control the loudspeaker of the mm-hmm, media. They simply
right,
turned it up to 11. Mm-hmm. And now you can't get out from under it. You know, with all of the lies that they tell.
Right.
And they frame this argument. They actually flat out frame the argument. But then, what would you do if you were in their position? I'd beat them over the head with it because they cower in the corner of criticism.
Right.
All they have to do is criticize this president, and he backs down
yeah,
every single time. You know, he did a slick thing with Elizabeth Warren, appointed
right,
her as a special consultant
right,
to construct this consumer protection agency. Because
right,
knew that there would be a fight to confirm her. But there's my problem. They are
right,
holding 180
okay,
of his nominees
right,
at bay for no reason.
Right, exactly.
Well, why won't he have the courage to recess appointments? They were just on recess. He could have appointed all 180 of them.
You know, Alpha, I think, though, that you know, when I look at this, and I understand, and your criticism is well founded. When I look at the situation that this guy finds himself, and I'm looking at it from the context of 43 prior presidents, 43 prior Congresses, 43 prior Supreme Courts. These guys that are against him have developed a constituency over generations. They have a very entrenched, well-funded constituent base, and they have a ways of promoting their perspectives that this guy can only he can only dream of, because you know they continually put him at a disadvantage. Because you know, when I look at Chris Matthews, you know, I look at one of the weakest, most spineless. Well, he's not really weak and spineless, because he advocates for a certain group of people. He advocates for a certain group of people. I've heard him make statements that lean toward he's a nice looking blonde haired blue eye, you know, and I'm like, what's that got to do with news, Chris? I mean, what's that got to do with content? But you know, he continually delves into those different areas, and so then what he does is he seeks people who can identify with that, and then he fertilizes or nurtures those types of ideas, as does Joe Scarborough. And these guys are Wolf Blitzer and John King and Ed Henry and a lot of these guys, they know how to manipulate, to placate, to massage. You know, they know how to get those audiences at their core, where they feel that they don't have a way that they can support Obama without betraying, you know, their natural born whatever. It takes a real sophisticated, intelligent, determined, and committed individual to be objective in regard to what's happening with this president and what's going on with this economy. I mean, because, you know, these guys on the other side, I mean, it's hard to back Obama. It was even hard for them to back Michael Steele, let alone Obama. And Michael Steele's in their party.
Well,
you know,
Michael Steele was a proxy. He was a puppet. If there had never been a Barack Obama, there would never have been a Michael Steele as head of the RNC.
You know, and when you look at Congress, you know, honestly, and I mean, you know, people they say to me, they think I'm this or that or whatever, but I'm going to be just very, very brutally honest with you. When you look at Congress and you look at the Republican side, there is not one person of African descent in the Congress of the Republican Party. Not one. Not one individual. When J.C. Watts quit, that was their whole 100% of diversity. And these guys are not, you know, and people don't even realize that. They don't have they speak almost monolithically. They have one idea, 1%, and their one commitment right now is to defeat Obama. Because Obama is, he's an emblem of success, an emblem of their lies. That every lie that they've ever been told since the time they were a child, Obama is defeating it and destroying it. And he's literally destroying all the input of their ancestors. And to me, and these guys, they vehemently have to defend it, because, you know, they would, and the opposite to that would be to look in the mirror and suggest, I've been lied to, I was wrong. And when you look at the direction, when I say look at the direction, when George Bush assumed this economy at $280 billion surplus, then took it to, correct me if I'm wrong, Alpha, to like $1.4 trillion debt. How can you do that? How literally can you do that and be in the Congress and never win against Bush? One time these Republicans didn't do it. Never went against him, walked lockstep with him. And this was with the tax breaks that they gave the wealthy. Now, where, if the tax breaks worked, why would you have accumulated this deficit? Why would you ever have had 740,000 job losses in a month if the tax breaks would have worked for the wealthy? You see, I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying you're absolutely right. But see, just as you understand that, and I understand
right.
that, this
right.
is the lack of message carrying.
I hear you.
You know.
Agreed.
So what Republicans do is admit to nothing, deny everything, and throw out outrageous accusations and speculations about the people who oppose them, about their descendants. And you know, if you dissent on what their ideology is, then you're not in the camp with them. Look at this last primary. Look at how Karl Rove excoriated this nominee.
What was her name? I couldn't think of her name.
Christine O'Donnell. And Karl Rove's he can't take it back. But here's the Karl Rove talked about this woman. He talked about this woman like a dog.
He did, yes.
I'll tell you, like right now, her opponent Coons, he is too afraid to use that clip in an ad campaign against her.
You
I would be
so?
Very surprised.
What's
if
his name?
He used that clip against her. And that's all he needs is the words of Karl Rove.
Right.
Pointing out her deficiencies. Now, Karl Rove has since been called to the carpet by the Grand Poobah, which is Rush Limbaugh. And he's all of them, every single last one of them, have turned their narrative around, and now they're all in, you know.
Exactly. McConnell, the whole work.
You know, the Republicans are all in. They're all in with, we're going to give her money. Oh, even though quietly they whisper, she ain't got a damn chance. Let's just throw some dollars there. But this is how disingenuous, this is how brutally dishonest they are.
Right, exactly.
And this is the problem with the Democratic Party. You've got 70% of the American people say, allow the Bush tax cuts to expire for the wealthy.
Right.
They want the 98% of the people want the Bush tax cuts to continue for the middle class.
Exactly.
And now all of a sudden there's some question that reminds me of single payer and public option when the American people wanted it.
Right.
You haven't heard one of these Republicans say, this is not what the American people want. All they're saying is, the American people don't want taxes raised during a recession.
Right.
If we spin it and frame it, but there's not the ability to carry a message from this White House. Unless Obama is carrying it out there himself, it doesn't.
Exactly.
He needs surrogates. I've said this for 2.5-3 years.
Absolutely.
He
you
needs
and me.
Surrogates.
Yeah.
And he don't have, you remember in the primary, you saw surrogates for Hillary Clinton, James Carville, Lanny Davis, Wasserman Schultz. She had an army of surrogates.
Right.
And carried your message. This man does not have surrogates. I don't understand it. I don't understand why he can't see carrying the message and framing the narrative is conquering that perception gap, and he simply won't do it. I'm sorry to say he's going to be proved. They're going to prove me right because he's allowing himself to be swift-boated with all the lies, and he's simply not really. He doesn't have time to respond himself, but he doesn't have surrogates to respond to it.
And you know the thing of it is to me, Alpha, and I totally agree with you 100%. Totally agree with you 100%. But the thing of it is that this guy is unique. I mean, there's never been a situation like this before ever in the history of the United States of America. And, you know, I'm not going to bet against him. I'm not going to bet against him. And it's not a game to me that he's playing. What I see President Obama doing is that he you know, if he gets enthusiastic and energetic, then he'll be framed as, you know, aggressive and assertive and arrogant and aloof and all this. You know, so he's in a delicate position. And like you say, now I'm looking at Biden, and I'm looking at Biden getting a little bit perturbed at this, and I'm not really sure where it's going to lead to. And you know what? I'm kind of scared of to say this, but I will say this. Ed Schultz is regardless to what I have to say about him, how I disagree with him on some issues, this guy will get in there, roll up his sleeves, and get busy. He is getting busy. And I'm looking forward to this event that's occurring October 2nd in Washington, D.C. And I'm hoping that, you know, I saw him interview today, Benjamin Chavis with the NAACP.
Been jealous.
I'm sorry, dang it. Yes, you're right. Did you see it? He interviewed him today on his television.
Yeah, I saw jealous. I saw what, you know, Ben Jealous is. I mean, he's.
I know. But you know what? It's going to take a coalition. I mean, it's going. And what I'm saying is there are a lot of people who see this for what it is. Who see this as my perspective is this, Alpha, that. You know, the middle class, we will buy things that, and when I say that, what I'm saying is hopefully from America, not from China, that will, you know, and when you give a tax cut to the middle class, they, as they spend it, it's a little tax comes off on the gas, a little tax comes off on the lumber, a little tax comes off on the concrete, a little tax comes off on replacing windows or whatever it is that they were. And so the government will regain some of the investment that they made in the middle class. Not only that, but some of the manufacturing facilities will have to replace what's been on the shelf gathering dust, because the middle class is trying to get itself back together. You know, Christmas is coming up. I mean, the middle class will be putting this money out and circulating it, and hopefully it'll be invested in U.S. manufacturing enterprises and business enterprises, and not enterprises from China. Because if we get a tax break from the U.S. invested in Chinese product, the money that we have goes to China and not stays here in the United States of America. And what we need to do, in my opinion, is to rebuild our infrastructure, our manufacturing base. You know, and even if you take, and there are a lot of people I'm hearing that are against this additional stimulus package, and I listen to these Republicans, well, this stimulus package, I'm like, why was there a stimulus package initially? Why was there ever a need? Because the economy slowed down due to the fact that your tax breaks for the wealthy didn't stimulate the economy sufficiently. It didn't put people back to work. So then there has to be an alternative approach to this idea. And initially, yeah, the deficit is going to go from 1.4, I think, to 1.7 or so, another $3 billion or something like that, or whatever it is, $3 trillion maybe? No, not $3 trillion. I think it's $1.7 billion, $1.4 billion to $1.7 billion is what I think they're estimating that he's going to raise the deficit to. But the whole idea is to spark the economy, because, you know, the bankers are not going to move anything. They're sitting there waiting on him to fail. They want him to fail. They're invested in his failure. And nobody, we as the middle class are going to have to be the ones to do it. And that's why I'm looking forward to this October the 2nd. I won't be able to be there myself, but I think I'm going to try to contribute to it, because I think it's significant when you have unions. And not just to say it's unions, but unions are organized, and they understand that they need to have jobs in order for regular citizens to get rid of the homeless situation, because there are a lot of people who are homeless who have an ability to work and would like to work, because who wants to be homeless? But there's no opportunity to work because nobody's creating any opportunities here in the U.S., as I can see it. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, Black, here's your problem.
Okay.
This is one front. We speak about the front, about the voting, about
who's right
and who's wrong on these issues. But
the
real front is manufacturing. We make nothing anymore here.
Thank
and
you.
Until we change these trade agreements with China, you know, I hear people say, oh, China holds our money. They can call in our debt. Well, hell, if we don't pay them, what are they going to do? What the hell are they going to do? We'll pay you when we can. You know, shutting down these corporations from their subsidiaries, their offshore subsidiaries who don't pay taxes. And we're saying this, if it's not made in America, it will be heavily taxed and taxed.
Right.
It will be, I would say, more expensive, not worth your time.
Right.
So the tax breaks given to the rich.
Right.
And their expansion of $1.7 trillion has increased to $3.4 trillion, and
that's
opening factories in Mexico, China, and in, you know, off our shores.
Mm-hmm.
They are reinvesting that money and giving jobs to the people with slave labor. And until we change that, we're just going to be in this black hole. Black, you got about 4 minutes left, and I want to thank
you. I know it, brother. Hey, give me, dadgummit, your show. When is it? What time? Give me the works. Give me the rundown.
Saturday, 2 o'clock Central Time, the Alpha Show, and on Alpha Show will continue on the second hour, our Truth Works Network, at 3 o'clock Central Time.
Okay,
but,
bro.
Catch me on afternoon.
I may not get a chance to get it this time, but I'm going to be there, so you can bet on that. It takes me a little bit to get acclimated. I get busy when I get done with India's show, and then I miss your show, and then when I think about it, I'm too late. So I got to keep up with it. How do I do that? I got to follow you somehow so I can keep up with you.
I got your show tonight. I visited your website and your show, and you didn't have a show scheduled.
Right.
I received a notice.
Uh-huh.
I received a reminder on my BlackBerry, and I guess
okay.
you have to go to the show and somehow, some way, as I marked you as a favorite.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to do the same. And also with Navasol, do you know, remember what time her show is? I think it's Sunday.
Is 5 o'clock Central. 5 o'clock Central time on Sunday.
5 o'clock Central?
On Sundays, right.
Right, okay. I don't know if you've ever checked out Miss Quiet Storm, but she has a show that comes on. If you, it's MS, Miss Quiet Storm, Miss Quiet Storm. And I met her about a year ago, I guess, and I visited her show before, but then I got lost off Block Talk Radio. But hey, Alpha, listen, you got to come back. I'm gonna get with you. Hopefully, you'll be reoccurring and you'll come back every once in a while if you don't mind,
well,
as often as you'd like to.
That's a reminder today that I was reminded that your show was on at 8. I thought it started at 7, but like I said, I got there and I didn't see a show scheduled, so I don't
right.
know. You were late.
I blew it. I was trying to change. I just noticed, it's funny, I just noticed all the things that I was doing wrong, and I tried to change it. And when I did, I took my show off completely. Then I had to put it back on. That's why I was late. But I'll get with you and get you to give me some information on how to stay straight with it.
All right. You got about a minute left, Black. I'll post some information in the chat room.
And I'm gonna hook up with you one way or another. And I appreciate it, brother Alpha. You take care of blessings of you and the family, and really appreciate you being on here, man. Thank you so
take
much.
Take care,
all right, talk to you later, Alpha. Appreciate it. And hey, this has been Ice and Friends as usual, as disorganized and disoriented as we ever are, except for when I have my good friend Mr. Alpha to come on and different guests that we have. Each week, Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m., the next phase with Ice and Friends. And you're always welcome to give us a call at 347-945-7040. Welcome to the chat room. I appreciate you, Alpha. East Coast, Sister Navazar, Texas, May 235. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. And blessings to you and your families. And hopefully we'll see you next Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Talk to you later.
Change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar board, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw us disregard a broken bottle top and a one man flow. They follow each other on the wind, you know, cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one gets to know.
Barbecue in slightly larger versions.